How y'all doing? Everybody enjoy your day yesterday? It finally stopped raining. Man. I was like, yes, I knew the sun still existed. Live in New England, man. Like April is, that's a rough month. But yeah, I'm excited for summer and warm weather. Amen. So guys, I'm going to start my notes where I have them started, but probably going to go a different direction than I had them finished here. We'll see how it goes. But again, talking about, we had a few weeks in there in the middle, like Pastor Al preached a couple Sundays ago. If you did not hear that, I'd highly encourage you to check it out on the website and the app. Very, very good. It was talking about going beyond and crossing over your Jordan. Amen. And you know, the thing we got to remember is even after the Israelites crossed over the Jordan, there were still a bunch of enemies they had to clean out. It's not just about crossing Jordan. There's still some battles you got to fight when you get over there. Amen. But the encouraging thing is God promises them, listen, my spirit is going ahead of you and I'm going to prepare that land. So all you got to do is pretty much show up and it's already over. Amen. Sometimes we just got to show up, everybody. Amen. So, anyway, really good. It was encouraging to me and convicting at the same time, which is what it should be. Amen. So, anyway, a few weeks back, I'd started a little couple sermons about being led by the Spirit, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. And really just what the Bible says it looks like. Amen. And so Romans 8, if you turn there in your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to be in verse 18 to start. Three Sundays ago, we were in Romans 8, 14, and there's where it says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Amen. So Paul's saying, look, you want to be a son of God? Like a son, not as I said, and we'll probably hit it again today, not legally, right? Not in a legal sense, because as soon as we get saved, we're legally a child of God. Amen. But Paul's talking about becoming a mature believer, a believer who is functioning as we can and should in the kingdom. Amen. And what we need to, I know I'm hitting this a lot lately, but we need to make sure we understand, and it's something that in some conversations recently I realized, also read a book from Francis Chan that he talks about it quite a bit, that that believers can flow in what we would consider the power of God and be very immature. Right? Francis Chan book, he highlights, he says, you know, people started following Jesus and it's only a couple of months and they're casting demons out. Right? When's the last time any of us cast a demon out of somebody? I don't know, but can I get amen? So obviously these people that have this power are not mature believers, but they're functioning in the power of God, right? So we need to function in the power of God, the dunamis power of God, a lot more than we are. Can I get amen on that? But that's not the goal, right? It's part of the package. We shouldn't throw that out. We need to do that. But the goal, if you read the Bible, pick it up in Romans 1 and read through the rest of the Bible, all the rest of that teaching is about maturity. Right, becoming a mature believer, learning how to function, learning how to get along with one another, learning how to have what your marriage should be built like, you know, children, all this stuff. Amen? So Romans 8, verse 18, Paul says this, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Amen. For, look at that word's in there. That's an important word. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay, so if you see what Paul's saying in verse 18 and 19, Paul's saying, look, I'm suffering. If we think about Paul's life, I might have said this a couple weeks ago, but if we think about Paul's life, church, prior to him getting like saved, right? Prior to him having the Damascus Road experience where the glory of the Lord comes, he gets blinded, all that stuff, right? Paul's life was probably easier before that than after. Okay, because Paul was a he describes himself as a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he's a top line religious leader in his culture, right? And in that culture, we still have a little bit in America, but I think it was even more so in that if you really study it. If you were a high-level religious leader in that culture, you were wealthy. You were respected by culture. I mean, you got seats of honor when there was meetings going on. Can I get amen? Like, your life was good, man. Paul has this encounter with the Lord, gets radically saved, and his life completely falls apart. Right. Sign me up, Jesus. Amen. Right? We got to stop telling everybody your life's going to get better if you get saved. Your eternal life will be better if you get saved. I can guarantee that, okay? But your temporal one might not get any prettier. It might get worse. Can I get amen on that? Right? Go to Africa somewhere where they're getting butchered right now and tell them they can get saved and your life's going to be better after you say yes to Jesus. Right? But we believe that there's life beyond. Right? My life's a vapor. Amen? Man, I'm 41. I said, where'd the last 20 years go? Some of you a little older probably saying, where'd the last 40 go? Can I get amen? Right? I still do stuff athletically, and I'm in my brain, I can still do stuff. I tell my body to move, and sometimes literally nothing happens. And I'm like, I know I said move. For sure. There was a thought in my brain that I was supposed to move right there, and nothing, you know. Amen. So what Paul's saying here, church, he says, look, what I'm suffering right now is nothing. It does not matter compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. Amen. He's talking, I think, dual things here. He's talking about heaven, right? Like, I'm going to get there, and wow. Okay, who cares? Book of Job, right? Job's going through all this suffering. Job's like, you know what? When I get face-to-face with the big guy, we're going to have a chat. If you ever read the story of Job, man, right? What happens when God shows up? God looks at him and he's like, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I laid the foundation of everything? And Job's like, yeah, my bad. Job, come on, church. Anybody ever say that? When I see God, we're going to have a chat. No, you won't. You're going to be on your face worshiping him in forever. Okay? It don't matter. Any questions you think you're bringing up there, they're not going to make it. All right. Can I get amen? Because you know what he's going to do, church? He's going to wipe every tear from your eye when you first get there. Can I get amen? Could you imagine that? That is one of my favorite. I'm waiting for that one. I can't. Could you imagine Almighty God so tender to wipe tears off my face? What? I mean, if you shared that with an unbeliever, why wouldn't they be like, I want to get saved right now? Just that. You're like, what? Isn't that crazy? So look what Paul's saying in your church. I'm willing to suffer. And then look in verse 19. One of the reasons he says, I'm going to suffer and allow this part of suffering is what brings out the glory that's in us. Do you understand? Right? If you read Paul's writings, he talks about it a lot. When we get pressed by things, the pressing is what's shaping us into the image of God. Right? Again, I've made it a few weeks without referencing the gym, okay? But I've been going to the gym. I haven't worn this shirt in like 3 years, y'all, because it didn't fit this way. All right? I put it on this morning. I was like, oh, yeah, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. But you know what? I was at the gym the other day, and I've actually been helping him out cleaning it a little bit, and I was cleaning the gym after everybody's gone. And I'm just thinking about this thing. Like, to get in physical shape, right, get back in shape, takes discipline. You got to eat better. You got to work at, right? You got to be disciplined. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. And so I'm sitting there, I'm mopping the floor, and I'm thinking about this. And the Holy Spirit says to me, the verse comes to me like this. Bodily discipline benefits you a little bit, but spiritual discipline has benefits both in the life now and in the life to come. And the Lord says to me, son, if you got to be disciplined to get your physical temple back in order, do you think you're going to have to be any less disciplined to get your spiritual temple strong? Right? I think some of us were a little soft around the middle in the spirit. Amen? God's saying, look, we're hearing it this morning. We're hearing it pray. We're praying about it a lot. God's saying, it's time to get back in shape. Amen. And so you think about suffering. This is what I'm saying this. Paul talks about suffering. I don't go to the gym, you know, 3 or 4 times a week and think, yay, gym time. I'm like, the next 45 minutes is going to, you know what? But I'm seeing the results of it, right? Man, it hurts. You're pushing this weight. You're doing whatever you're doing, right? It hurts. I want to quit. I want to give up. I want to eat a cheeseburger right now, all right? But you keep pushing, and you get the coach in your ear. Come on, man. You can give me one more push-up. You can hang that. You can hold that plank 10 more seconds, buddy. Come on. You can do it, right? In church, this is what we've got to understand. The Holy Spirit's in us saying, you can make it. You can give me one more push-up. You can get through one more day of this. You can get through one more week of this thing, because what is coming at you, I'm letting come at you, because it's going to make you stronger. It's revealing who you can be. Amen? Because Paul shows us here, look at how powerful this is. The anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. So church, think about the creation. What is he talking about? He's literally talking about everything that he created, right? In the book of Genesis, we know that story, right? Obviously, we all know that. The Big Bang, there was a Big Bang. It was the voice of God. Okay? You ever hear, the voice of God in the book of Exodus sounds like thunder coming off the mountain. It's so loud, everybody falls on their faces thinking they're going to die. Okay? And he wasn't creating anything when he was talking then. Can I get amen? If God just spoke and everything came into creation, it's probably pretty loud. Just saying. Amen. So what's going on here, church, is that creation, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Adam gets put in the garden, right? He's in the garden, and he's in the garden where the snake is, right? The devil is. God says the devil's in the garden. God puts Adam in a hostile environment on purpose. It tells him to take dominion over it. Take authority, rule and reign in this place, right? I'm putting you somewhere that's dangerous on purpose. Lord, I just want to be where it's safe. Well, then you don't want to be a Christian, because if you're a Christian, God's going to put you somewhere where there's something's going to come at you that you have the authority to take it down. Is that right? When Adam and Eve succumbed to the temptation of the devil, what happened in that moment, church, was that creation, everything that God created, got subjected to darkness and evil and destruction because of one decision that was the wrong one. Right? And I'm telling you what, man, it is not just humanity, it's animals, it's all kinds of stuff. Can I get amen? If we look around, anywhere that there's death, there's destruction, there's sickness, there's confusion, I'm talking about erosion, I'm talking about a thunderstorm, church. A thunderstorm is produced by conflict in the atmosphere. Do you understand? A thunderstorm is produced when hot air and cold air crash together. Boom, thunderstorm, it's conflict. Paul is saying to us that all of creation was subjected to this destruction, to this corruption, against its will, it says right here. Can I get amen? Do you see what it says right there? Against its will, not willingly, but because of him, God, who subjected it in hope that the creation itself also be set free from its slavery to corruption into what? The freedom of God. No, that's not what it says. Into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. What? Guess what, church? When we go to heaven, the creation don't matter then. Man, we're up there. Paul's talking about what we can get a hold of down here. He's saying you can get a hold of something down here that you can literally start impacting the creation around you. Do I sound crazy, or are y'all tracking with me a little bit? Okay, I'm going to tell you, this sounds simple, and it sounds a little flaky. Some of you will love it. But I remember being in my backyard a couple of years ago. We were sitting there. It was a beautiful day out in the summer, and we're sitting there, and this bee, man, comes out of nowhere and starts just bugging us. Just one, right? It's flying around. You know how bees are. You know, they're just yellow jackets. They're ornery and cranky. And I was in this. I've been reading this, and there was something the Holy Spirit was stirring in my heart. I was right in this spot right here where I was like, man, Lord, you're showing me something. And this thought comes into my head just like this, right? Tell it to leave. I was like, come on. I mean, literally, I'm sitting in this little cushy chair on my patio and thinking to myself, that's stupid. I'm not going to do that. Because, like, you know what I mean? Can I get amen? Like, that just sounds weird. But, like, this thought would not leave me alone. And so finally, I literally pointed at this bee and I said, leave right now in Jesus' name. In church, I'm telling you, that fast, the thing, it flew away and never came back the whole rest of the day. And I literally sat there and was like, did that really work, or was that just... do you understand what I'm saying? We have power that's in us that all we've got to learn how to do, and I'm going to say this, that sounds really simple when I say it, we've got to learn how to walk in it. It's there. Can I get amen? If you know Jesus, the same power that rose him from the dead is strengthening your mortal body. Okay, Greek word for mortal just means dying, right? So I don't know, other than like Enoch and whatever the other guy is, Elijah, they got taken up in the whirlwind, right? Okay, everybody else, including Jesus, died physically. Can I get amen, right? I don't know anybody else that just got beamed up, can I, right? So there's a scripture when Paul's writing where he says that outwardly we waste away, right? My earth suit's going to wear out. Your earth suit's going to wear out. But he says, but inwardly we are becoming new day by day. Right? So this shell is, you know, I'm hanging on to mine a little bit. Can I get amen, right? We're trying to hang on, trying to treat it good, right? It's the only one I get. Can I get amen? But the bottom line is this thing is going to waste away. It's going to get old. It's going to get weak. It's going to, can I get amen? But the Bible says that my spirit man is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Doesn't matter what my physical body's doing. This thing in my heart, the power of God has got no, that thing's not limited by what my earth suit's doing. I hear stories from Pastor Al. Pastor, if you remember this preacher lady's name, yell it out, man. But you told me this preacher lady, she was like real old, like 80 or something. If any of you are 80, sorry if that's offensive. But she was real old, 80, you know. And she was all bent over. She couldn't, all arthritis. She could hardly walk. So they get her up on the platform and she here all like this. And boy, she starts preaching and boom, as soon as she starts preaching, she stands right up tall. Her voice steadies right out. And boy, she starts walking around the platform. Wah! Fire of God, preach, man. Like strong. You could see her whole body like this, right? She gets all done preaching and she kind of, okay, have a nice night, everybody. Right? What's that? Fuchsia Pickett. Fuchsia Pickett. You guys want to look her up online, Fuchsia Pickett, right? See, her earth suit's wearing out, but there's something in her that's stronger than her earth suit. Is that right? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. Do you see this, church? These four verses here. Paul says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I think it's right now. Amen? We can get this right now. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. That Greek word means emptiness, right? Not willingly, but because of him, God, who subjected it. And why did God do it? God subjected the creation to emptiness in hope that we would get it. That we would wake up. We would start understanding who we are. Amen? See, this freedom, what we've got to, I think we, you know, in America, we don't understand freedom in America. Freedom in the kingdom, church. See, freedom in America is like, we think I can do whatever I want. That's not true. Get in your car and go 100 miles an hour down 84. You're going to go to jail for that. You're not free to do that. That's not freedom. Can I get amen? What we enjoy in America is liberty, right? We're free from oppression and all those things in America for the most part, right? We're a pretty good country with that stuff. But it's really liberty is what we're talking about. It's the freedom to operate within a set of guidelines, right? This is the freedom Paul's talking about. It's we're set free by Christ not to do whatever I want. What I'm set free from is I'm set free from me. Anybody ever want to cast yourself out of yourself sometimes? Look, I ain't got a demon. I just got me, and not, I'm having enough trouble with that. Right? So I sometimes just want to lay hands on myself. Come out! Right? Is that right? See, what Paul is talking about, if you really look at Paul's writings, he doesn't talk a lot about the devil. He talks about flesh, which is where the devil plays. Right? See, if my flesh, everybody, I had a good talk yesterday with a good friend here at the church. We got talking about, oh, man, yeah, he says, I had a little flesh going. I said, yeah, me too, bro. Doesn't it stink? Man. Right? And you see it coming. Sometimes it's even worse when you see it coming and you do it anyway. You're like, man, I'm getting mad. I better slow down. But then you hear that other little, there's a little red guy in this shoulder going, no, you keep going, right? Like those old Tom and Jerry cartoons, you know? And you flick the angel off this shoulder, and you're like, all right, let's do it, you know? It's the flesh, man. And the devil's like, yeah, let's go. Give it some flesh. But see, the Spirit of God, when we listen to the Spirit of God, that's how we grow in our sonship. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, right? And as we're led by the Spirit, we grow. We grow in maturity. We grow in understanding. We grow in our authority, right? Can I get amen? And again, I'm not talking, when I talk about authority, I'm not talking about just power over darkness. I'm talking about growing in the kingdom, right? Baby Christians can cast a demon out of somebody. But baby Christians are not allowed access to the deep things in the kingdom. I got one uh-huh for that one. I'm going to say that one more time. Baby Christians got power over darkness, but baby Christians don't get access to deep things in the kingdom. Right? Can I get amen on that? Read the whole Bible. God is always testing people, man. Are you ready to go up a level? Are you ready? Have you grown enough? Have you died to yourself enough? Have you become mature enough? Have you let go of this? Have you let go of that? Can I get amen? Right? The father of faith is Abraham. He has Isaac. He makes a mess for 25 years. Finally has Isaac, the child of promise. Then God, he's like, Isaac is 15. What happens? Then God tested Abraham and said, give me that son, the only son. And we know the story is Abraham's cocking the knife up. He hears the voice of God from heaven. Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you fear me. You're like, well, that messes me up. I'm like, well, you're God. You know everything already. How do you now you know that Abraham fears you? I think what God's saying is now I know that you know that I know that you know that you fear me. Right? God knows. But he's saying, now you know that I know. Amen? See, church, Paul warns us about freedom. He says, you've been given freedom, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for your flesh, but rather to serve one another in love. Right? I'm free from just doing me. Can I get amen? I'm free from being selfish. I'm free from being afraid. I get set free from being anxious. I get set free from being jealous. I get set free from envy. I get set free from competition. I get set free from all this stuff that just makes humans ugly. I get set free to be like Jesus, man. Right? To be sons and daughters of God, to be brother, the first, Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Amen? Just think about this, man. Close your eyes for a minute, and we all have something. Amen? Close your eyes for a second. I just want you to think about this. Think about your life, right? Don't tell anybody. Just think about every one of us. We know there's something that God's working on right now. Right? Can I get amen? For sure. If you don't know something, then just keep sitting there because God will give you some. Amen? Now just imagine what your life looks like when that's gone. What your marriage looks like when that thing's gone. What your time looks like when that thing's gone. What your kids look like when that thing's gone. What your own emotional health looks like when that thing's gone. Right? In church, I think sometimes we get so, all we see is the problem. All we see is, oh, I did this again. And it's just discouragement. Oh, I can't do this. I'm a failure. I'm this, I'm that. I did it again, whatever. God's saying, come on, man, look. That song we sang there for like an hour and a half this morning, right? You won't relent until you have it all. Right? But then the verse of that song is talking about what? This amazing love. The fire of God's love that waters can't quench it. It's the love of God that's pursuing us and bringing and burning that stuff out of us. He says, son, I love you so much. I'm not going to let that poison stay in your soul. Because I know who you can be. Yeah. Sometimes it hurts a little, church. Can I get amen, right? That's why he says, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, right? Hang on. Amen? So I'm convinced, church, that we've made following or being led by the Holy Spirit far spookier. Everybody say spookier. I don't know if that's a word. I just made it up if it's not a word. But I think that we've made following the Holy Spirit far spookier than it actually is. And I'm really mainly convinced on this because of what the Bible tells me or tells us that the Holy Spirit's going to do, right? Now, raise your hand if you've ever had the Holy Spirit tell you to do something that's just weird. You guys in the back, you could, like, two hands, couple feet, right? Stand in your head. Come, right? Like, you just, and you're like, man, there, nobody's going to understand that one, right? And that's fine. Probably any of us that have been really walking with the Lord, we know that God says, okay, do this. And you're like, oh, not again. Come on. I mean, sometimes when I see new folks at church, my prayer, and Lord, forgive me for praying this, but my prayer is like, please let it not be too weird today. Seriously. Like when you see people stand up in the middle of worship and walk out, you're like, all right, thanks, Lord. You know. But come on, can I get amen? I'm just like, okay, fine. I'm just back at, like, whatever you want to do, I don't care how weird it is, let's just go for it, right? Literally this morning, our prayer was a simple little five-minute prayer in there. Lord, this is your church. You do what you want to do. We're just here. Whatever you want to do, I don't care what it looks like. You want to do it, let's go for it. Amen. Right? But, I'm concerned that we're spending too much time or wasting too much time waiting for these times of extreme inspiration. I mean, come on, man. How many people ever get wrecked? You've ever been wrecked by the Lord? Raise your hand. Come on. Hopefully everybody. You know? And it's awesome. Man, I mean, can I get right? You're like, man, I don't want this to end. I'll stay here forever. I don't need to eat anything. I don't need to go to the bathroom anymore. I don't want to leave here. Just keep going. Whatever this, whatever's going on right now, just keep, man, let's stay here forever. I don't want to go anywhere, right? I mean, there's Peter up on the mountain when Jesus transfigures, and he's like, Lord, let's stay here forever. You know, yes, this is awesome. Jesus is like, you don't get it, bro. You're catching a glimpse of some reality so you can take it back down into there, into that mess, and make a difference. My flesh is what wants to stay up there. That's selfish, right? He says, get back down there. I showed you something to go back down into that mess and change something, right? So if we think about it, church, here's what I'm convinced of, okay? And I can show it to you all day long. What the Holy Spirit's going to help me do, and you too, you're not off the hook, is do what this book says. Every page. Can I get amen? Right? If I'm going to sit here and wait to get wrecked by the Lord and say, wow, I really had an encounter with the Holy Spirit today, you're going to waste a lot of time that you could be growing in maturity with the Lord. Because mature sons and daughters are obedient sons and daughters. We read our Bibles and we do what God says. Oh boy, I knew it'd get quiet now. You know, the Bible says this. We all know this one, man, but do we really believe it? God says, I desire obedience rather than sacrifice. God says, look it, I have an entire book telling you what to do. Every day, in every aspect of your life, God says, I'm going to tell you what kind of employee to be. I'm going to tell you what kind of man to be, what kind of woman to be, what kind of father to be, what kind of wife to be, mother, husband, wife, kid. God says, I've got something to tell you about every single thing that you do every single day of your life. I have input about it, and I have expectations that I'm giving you the ability to actually fulfill. Can I get amen, church? Right? It says God is the one who's at work in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Right? God's not just saying, do this and good luck. He's saying, do this, and I'm actually the one making you able to do it. But again, that's being led by the Spirit. Amen. Yeah. I want to clear something up. There's one more scripture I want to read to you in closing in just a couple of minutes. We're almost done, for real, honestly. But think about this. I've had amazing encounters with the Lord. Many hands went up. Like stuff that just blows my mind. The one I've told many stories about back in Dallas all those years ago. Right? That season, whatever we want to call that, it with the Lord went on for a couple of weeks until I told the Lord, I can't handle this anymore. And it stopped. Boom, just like that. And I look back and I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've said in my entire life. Hands down. Anybody ever done that? You're like, oh, geez, you know, it's so intense. You're like, ah, oh, Lord, I feel like I called Pastor Al, remember? I called you pretty much every day. What did I tell you? I think I'm going crazy. It was that intense. I think I'm losing my mind here. And all he told me was, you're going to be all right, son. Like, that was about 7 or 8 phone calls every day for 2 weeks. Amen, all right, Pastor? Amen. But church, can I get amen, right? What we're looking at is like, I want that so bad, and I want to have this encounter with God, and we hear about other people having these encounters with God. Oh, I want that. I want this. But you know what? If you read the Bible, and even I thought about that time in Dallas, I was thinking about it this morning. If you read the Bible, all these amazing encounters people have with God, if you really pay attention, most of the time, if not the majority of the time, they are preceded by an act of obedience on the part of that person that had that encounter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, Abraham has this amazing encounter with God. Well, yeah, but he had to leave his family and his country and leave everything that he had to have that encounter with God. Do you understand? Okay, Paul, you know, Paul has this road to Damascus encounter with the Lord, but there's a mission, right? Paul, it's like if you have an encounter with God and you leave and nothing changes in your life, that wasn't an encounter with God. Because you have an encounter with God, a legit one, you cannot get up and do the same thing you were doing. It's not possible, man. Something changes in your heart, and you, man, I can't do that anymore. Right? It's like it's like I don't even want to do that anymore. I don't want to go there. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to treat people like that anymore. I don't want to. I want to seek God. I want more of God, right? An encounter, a real encounter with God will leave you wanting more of that. And say, Lord, I don't care what it costs me. I want more. I want more. Amen. That encounter I had in Dallas Church, I realized that it's like it was preceded by me spending 1 week of my 2 weeks of vacation annually I got to go to a church conference for an entire week. I got 2 weeks vacation for a year, and I'm going to like, he asked me, the pastor asked about my wife and I to go, and I said, man, I'm going to chew up a week of vacation to go to church every day? I don't think so. Can I get amen? Like, that seems silly and selfish. I say it now, but back then it was legit. I'm like, dude, that means for the whole year I've only gotten 1 week of vacation left, and I'm going to chew it all up going to church? But it was that simple act of obedience and just saying, my pastor wanted me to go, I'm going to do this, and pow, this just rocked my world. Right? Sometimes, church, God is looking for us to step out and be obedient in something that is right in front of us, something that we know we got to do, something that we know God's pricking our heart, and we never know, man, it could just be one more step of obedience and the heavens open up over you. We never know. There's part of the mystery. Amen? Go to Ephesians chapter 3 with me. Right at the end, and we're going to just preach a little bit longer here, just about 10 minutes or so, and I want to show you guys something here. It's really powerful. Say amen when you're there. Everybody tracking with me all right? All the way at the end, chapter 3, verse 20. And we're going to recognize these two verses real good. But what we're going to do, church, I want you to, we're going to read straight through into chapter 4, but I want you just, with as much mental power as you can, forget that there's a chapter break. Because when Paul wrote this letter, there is no chapter break here. He did not intend us to read chapter 3, verse 20, 21, and stop. Amen? You guys, everybody there? Ready? Now to him who's able. If you guys want to read it out loud with me, if you know it, we know this one good, don't we? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that resides in heaven. Oh, so it's according to the power that's in here, right? Maybe we need to... I'm not saying we should not call for power from heaven, but that's not what Paul says. Paul says the power that's going to come from heaven has got to work in agreement or in accord with the power that's in here, right? He's able to do it, but it works according to or in agreement with the power that's in here. Do you see it, right? To him, verse 21, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Therefore is a connecting word. I, the prisoner of the Lord. Therefore, why? What's he saying? Because there's this God that we serve, God Almighty, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, right? The sovereign Lord of the universe who can do beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. Okay, church, if I can picture 50 million people as people as far as I can see, right? Like just on their faces on fire for God. If I can legitimately picture that in my head, the Bible says God can do not just a little bit more than that, but exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that I can think about. Oh, Lord, I just need 50 bucks to make it to next weekend. Oh my goodness. Okay, that's what I think about. But God says, I've got exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that you can think about. And it's all in God to work with what's in here. You see it, church. So Paul says, because of this, right? I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, who's you? Us, right? To walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. What's the calling to which we've been called? Chapter 3, verse 20. Are you guys catching this? Y'all so quiet. The calling to which we've been called is to walk in the reality of the exceeding abundance of God. That's what we're called into. And Paul says, because there's this availability and it's working according to the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you, because of this, I'm inviting you to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. I'm calling you to this, says the Lord. Now walk in a manner, or the Greek word means to behave in accordance with this. Right? Let's keep reading, because he gives us actually some very direct instruction. Y'all okay? Verse 2. Here's how we do it, church. Ready? All humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Are you catching that? So if we think about it, let's take what Paul's teaching us and just flip it on its head, right? What is going to prevent us from walking in this place of abundance that we're called into? Pride, sharpness, impatience, and a lack of tolerance for one another, right? She's showing tolerance. Do you understand? Like, there's one of Paul's other letters, if you read it in New Living Translation, it literally says to put up with each other. Right? So you get into any church, I don't care where it is, you're going to have people that you just click with. Man, we're perfect, right? We got these two, this guy and this guy, like fishing. Man, they'll fish till the cows come home. You know what I mean? And they don't need to put up with each other in that particular realm of life. Can I get amen, right? But it's when you find somebody that maybe there's not a whole lot in common and you kind of grind on each other and they might do things that you're like, man, I wouldn't do it like that. You know, and boy, we just get cranky right away. But this, see, what Paul tells us, church, is that that's just flesh. That's just flesh rising up, right? Either direction, can I get amen? What Paul says is when we do that, when we give in to that kind of thing, when I stop showing tolerance for people that maybe I don't get along quite so well with, what I'm doing is I'm hindering the ability for me to walk in this place of exceedingly abundance, because it grieves the Spirit of God. Right? Church, I'm right here, man. God is all over me about this stuff. I got my own stuff that I look at, I go, boy, it just rubs me the wrong way. And God's saying, will you grow up and get over it? Can I get amen? There's preachers out there, I look at them, I say, boy, why is he saying that? God says, will you stop it? Can I, right? Stop it. That ain't me. I ain't telling you to say that stuff. I ain't telling you to think that way about that person. How about you understand that they're doing what they're doing to their best of their ability, and you're doing what you're doing to the best of your ability, and give that guy some room. He gives you some room. Everybody give each other a little bit of room. And Paul says that that's one of the ways that we access this exceedingly abundant power of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. I'm going to tell you guys a story of a local church. It's a powerful story. I'm sure I've told it before, but it really bears sharing again. This church, it's up in Granby area. And they, for years, they had a sign up the road north of Granby. They had a sign that said the future home of such and such a church. They had bought this piece of land up there. And it just, there was nothing. It was just the sign and just bushes and trees and everything else, right? It would have cost them millions of dollars to develop that land and build a building and the whole nine yards. So the leadership of that church, they got together and they said, they prayed, and the Lord gave them Ephesians 3:20. That's the scripture the Lord gave them, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that you can ask or think. And they really felt like that the Lord was saying that, I just want you to pray in unity. Do not doubt. Do not argue. Do not squabble with each other, right? Come together. Get your hearts knit together on one page and believe me and pray. And they prayed, church. I don't remember how long. It was a while, a couple of years or whatever. They prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Saw nothing, right? No doors opening up, nothing going on. The church was just stumbling along. And one day, one of them got a phone call from somebody that owned a horse farm. All right, a horse farm. This is up 189. If you go up 189 out of Granby, you could go drive by this church now. And this person called up and said, look, we own this horse farm. And I don't know if the people that owned it died or something, whatever happened. But they said, I don't know. The guy that owned it was a Christian. And he says, look, you know, I guess he lived out of state. I forget exactly what the story, how it goes. But he said, look, we really feel like we know you guys are looking for some land and looking for a building. He goes, look, we've got this horse farm. It's 17 acres of land. And the horse farm is like, the horse barn is like 6,000 square feet or 8,000 square feet or whatever it is. There's a four-bedroom house on the property. There's a couple of buildings on the property. We want to give it to you. All right, so I don't know if y'all ever looked at land up there, but like 17 acres of land with nothing on it in Granby is worth about $3 million. All right? They gave him this land, and the church ended up taking the horse barn and converted the horse barn into a church. And they are now using the house on the property as substance abuse ministries for people. And the church has just taken off like crazy. It's in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing up there. And the church is growing like crazy. Anybody been to Granby? There's like 800 people live in Granby, man. There's nothing up there. All right? But you know, a church is that they stood together, believe in God, and said, man, we will not give up. We are going to believe God is going to break through. We are not going to doubt. We're not going to fight. We're going to stand together in one heart with one voice, seeking God together, and we know God's going to answer. Amen. So can I commission us today? We have a word over our kids right now. We had a word about some women and men coming together to pray for our kids. Church, could you imagine, see it in your mind, in your spirit, this church packed out with young people on fire for God. Preaching, leading worship, going out into the streets, laying hands on sick folks, casting demons out. I'm talking straight up kingdom of God stuff right here in this church. If we can stand together and just believe it, say, Lord, we believe it. Tell us how to do it. Amen. We'll do it. Amen. So, Father, we come as Paul instructs us in humility. Let me read this one more time, guys, in closing right here. We come, Lord, this morning in humility, in gentleness, in patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And, Lord, we pledge this morning by the power of your Spirit and your grace to be diligent to preserve the unity of your Spirit and the bond of peace in this house. Right here, Lord. Knit our hearts together, Father, that we would have one voice, one purpose coming out of this place for your glory and according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. My community group, we're meeting very shortly in the back over here. Please stay if you're with us. And guys, if you need prayer for anything, if I said something today that pricked your heart, if you need us to agree with you, anything in prayer, please come on up. We'd love to lay hands on you and agree for God's best for your life. Amen. Bless you guys.